গোপীচা নাবল্লভা গিরিবর ধারি, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরাবনচারী, যমুনা তীরাবনচারী, জয় রাধা মাধবা কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধবা কুঞ্জ বিহারী, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে, জয় গিরি গোবর্ধন গিরি গোবর্ধন গিরি গোবর্ধন, জয় গিরি গোবর্ধন জয় বৃন্দাবন ধাম বৃন্দাবন ধাম বৃন্দাবন ধাম, জয় বৃন্দাবন ধাম জয় রাধে শ্যাম রাধে শ্যাম রাধে শ্যাম, জয় রাধে শ্যাম জয় প্রভুপদা প্রভুপদা প্রভুপদা, জয় প্রভুপদা জয় জয় গুরুদেব গুরুদেব গুরুদেব, জয় জয় গুরুদেব নিতাই গৌর প্রেমানন্দে। শ্রী শ্রী রাধা বৃন্দাবন বিহারী লাল কি জয়। Hare Krishna. So what is your desire? You can tell me, then from there we'll start. You want to start from Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri? So just I, on the way to this place, I was just thinking that I went to Saudi Arabia in 1995 for about 2 months, 2 years and 2 months. Yes? Ha ha ha. Yes. Take some nice picture also. For me it is very memorable event to be amongst all of you. So when I was there, I was alone for almost 9 months. I mean, even to know people it took some time and all. But first five months were like absolute most seclusion. To in a hotel, not in a accommodation also. And then also, all the time I was alone there, but I got some friends and everything. But my honest feeling that time was that every sadhaka must have such time of seclusion for himself. That was my inner feeling. Because day-to-day life, especially in Kali Yuga, is so taxing and so busy, so involving. Even intellectually, mentally, socially, physically, so much involvement is there. Although we are engaged in service to Krishna, but that day-to-day, moment-to-moment engagement also does not give us time to reflect within. Where am I in my journey home? Where do I stand? Am I on the right track? Am I on the right path or not? So that can be a weekly thinking or it can be monthly thinking, but there has to be some time to think about it. We cannot just travel for years together and then think, oh, I'm on wrong track now. I'm on the right track. I have taken 5 years back one detour and I've gone somewhere astray. Rather than there can be a regular evaluation, contemplation, internalization to really meditate. And to make sure that we are on right path. And I was feeling very grateful to Krishna for that. For whatever reasons he sent me there, but it was a good time to contemplate, even to think about health also, think about mind also, think about family also. Everything was, that word evaluation was very important. Sihavalokan. Look back and think. So it was a good time. So this is also a very good time. We need to take out some time and come to a place which is not demanding. I mean, when you come to this place, everything just slows down. Everything just comes to a base level of peace. And everything just comes down. And you can take some fresh air deeply. Because another feeling that I have always is that oxygen has got great power of rejuvenation. And usually we take only 20% of our lungs we utilize for breathing. We don't even utilize 100% of lungs. Life is so busy that we just breathe for surviving. We don't breathe for quality of life. And my wife's realization and my realization observing her is that oxygen has great power of healing and rejuvenation, provided we use it very, very nicely and sufficiently. So when I'm in Barsana, my lungs are utilized 100%. You know why? Because I climb the mountain every day. When I'm climbing the mountain, I reach the top, every alveoli, you know, every small particle of my lung is being ventilated. And such rejuvenation is there. Such freshness is there. So I am the fittest in Barsana. Because 1 kilometer walking is there to temple, then 350 steps climbing is there, and then you chant and you come back again. And it most of the times I do two times climbing. And even for releasing your stress also is important. That is important. To de-stress yourself is to breathe like climbing the mountain. So when the mind is, when the oxygen is enough in the body, your mind becomes free from depressive elements. Whatever is depressing you, whatever is upsetting you, whatever is demotivating you, discouraging you, also goes away. That's why it's called pranavayu. It gives you actual life when you breathe properly. So when you are 3 days here, you can breathe nicely to ventilate your lungs and give you a healed mind. But mind has got so many hangers. You know what is hangers? In psychological terms, there is something called hangers. You like to keep on thinking about those things which pained you in the past. This happens, no? My psychiatrist told me that is called mental hangers. And you have to learn to remove all the hangers. And not just dwell in those things which give you pain. You have to just leave them aside and go ahead. So these are some things I always think about. Because all of us need to be happy in life. Anybody has any different opinion of this? Maybe a materialistic poet may think that unless there is enough pain in the heart, good poetry doesn't come out. You know? That's why I stopped writing poetry. I was writing poetry when I was 16, 17 year old. About 88 poetries I have written. But then I effortfully stopped writing it. Because I understood to write material poetry, you need to have deep pain in the heart. And I already chosen a path of happiness just a year back. So I said, I don't want to go back and forth, you know, go deep in pain, write some poetry, again come back to temple, chant Hare Krishna. So I thought, whenever I'll feel like Tukaram Maharaj, Ananda Se Dohi Ananda Taranga, then I'll start writing again. Whenever that time will be, by the mercy of the Lord. Actually, this was on my mind. Ananda Se Dohi Ananda Taranga. When that kind of feeling will come, poetry will come automatically. So point I was trying to make is that those mental hangers are worst enemies of ours. They just, you know, keep bothering you. What happened? Something happens that reminds again of that, what happened. And we keep dwelling in that. So in the life of Krishna consciousness, we have to make a determination that I want to be happy and I will be happy. And whatever comes on the my way of becoming happy, I will just throw it away and just be happy. Because Krishna consciousness is supposed to be made, supposed to be happy, supposed to be giving happiness to us. And the third thing which I always keep feeling is that the company of people that Lord has given us at any moment of life, it may be a set of devotees in 1995. It may be another set of devotees in 1998. And it may be totally new set of devotees in 2005. And totally different maybe today. But whatever set of devotees and others who are family members or whatever are around us is the perfect arrangement of the Lord for us to make progress in Krishna consciousness at that moment of time. So like, you know, Bombay devotees, the Pune devotees may say, the real association is Bombay actually. If I go to here now, then I'll get real association. By the time I'm here in Pune, I will just manage somehow I will manage my sadhana. And people in Bombay may feel, if I go to Vrindavan, now, there I will get good association. Or only when Guru Maharaj comes, that is associated. Baki everything is just like time pass. We may think like that actually. But we have to convince ourselves that whatever company of the devotees Krishna is giving us today is the best for me today to make advancement. Because by definition, Krishna makes everything perfect for us. Isn't that true? So how it can be that today it is not perfect and tomorrow it may be perfect and yesterday it was perfect. How is that can be? by the definition and the spiritual reality, whatever Krishna gives you, any moment of life, for that moment of life, it is perfect. That is why when we look around, we have to actually thank Krishna for giving us the company of people who He has planned for us. Be grateful for that. Be thankful for that. So when Sumitra got her share of kheer from Putra Kamishti Yagya, she was feeling so grateful. And she waited till the two older queens had their share. She waited very patiently and gratefully. And then she honored her part of kheer. Because she felt that my duty is just to serve. I'm here to serve. So let the children who come out of my portion of kheer be subservient to the children who are coming from their womb. Such a beautiful consciousness, you know. She never felt why I got 1/4 and 1/8. She got 1/4 and 1/8. While Kausalya got half and Kaikeyi got 1/4. So she didn't question that why it is like this. Is she more beautiful than me or is she more qualifying than me? She just felt grateful. And that is why her children also felt great gratitude in being able to serve Ram and Lakshman. They felt grateful so that we got opportunity to serve and please our masters. Without thinking of their own gain or loss, or their position or their situation. So similarly, whatever we receive, we shouldn't be judgmental that, oh, this devotee is, why is he in this company? I would love to have Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj today. You know, maybe naturally thinking like that. But when that happens, we should be grateful for that. And when today, whatever is happening, we should be grateful for that. Because every moment is tailor-made, cut out by Krishna for us. And that is why it is perfect. Otherwise, our statements in our classes which we give is just theory only. Yes, rata hua gyan. If we don't feel like that actually, that everything that Krishna is arranging is perfect for my advancement. Even the miseries that He sends, even the challenges that He sends, even the relatives that He sends in between, to so-called, you know, trouble us or whatever, everything is meant for perfect arrangement by the Lord. And that we have to keep thinking all the time. And when we are in that consciousness, we keep making steady progress in Krishna consciousness. Then fourth thing, I was thinking that whatever may be happening in life, it may be sometimes pleasurable, sometimes may not be pleasurable, sometimes may be neutral, sometimes may be okay, sometimes may be greatly blissful, sometimes may be painful. In all these conditions of life, one should aim and work hard to develop taste for Krishna's holy name and for His Leela and for His Dham and for His form. We cannot afford to not develop that taste because of certain reasons. Ki today this is happening, yesterday that was happening, day after that is expected to happen. So how do I develop taste? I have to fight with the situations to somehow get out of it. In fact, all those situations are also perfectly tailor-made for us to develop attraction for Krishna. What is that sloka in Bhagavatam which says that all na utpadayate hi ratim srama evai kelam? How does it begin with? Huh? Dharma svanushtuta pumsa vishvaksena kathasuya na utpadayate mratim srama evai kevalam. So I may be doing my duty in the hospital. You may be doing your duty in deity worship. You may be doing your duty in computers, wherever. While all these things, you have to keep on meditating that I have to develop taste for Krishna's holy name, Krishna's divine pastimes, His holy abode and His divine form. And out of that, easy development is Leela. Others we have to cultivate effortfully. Especially the name, you have to cultivate a lot of efforts to develop the taste for the holy name. But it will be a little easier for developing taste for the pastime of the Lord. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj said, when somebody asked him why it is so, he said, because when we hear Leela of the Lord, one can actually visualize It can sometimes keep appearing to be happening in front of your eyes, in front of the, in on the screen of the mind. If the it has been told nicely with love and affection, then it just appears, you know, and that appearance can absorb you, and the test may be easier to find out. The name also has the same potency, but we are not so predisposed in that way. So out of the four things, what do you think is easiest to develop attraction to? You can have different opinions, there is no problem about that. But what do you think out of the Naam, Lila, Rupa, Dham, easiest way to develop attraction to? Form of the Lord also. I think they are all equal. Whatever appeals to you. But for me, I feel Dham and the Lila is more attractive. In one sense of predisposition, which will develop me, finally help me to develop attraction to Holy Name and chant the Holy Name nicely also. And if we listen to the Lila of the Lord with great attention and concentration, and if we learn the art of switching off everything else when Katha goes on, that should be our conditioning. When Katha and Kirtan starts, na, switch off everything else and just put one button on. There's attention. Then that Katha can give you really absorption, complete absorption in Krishna. Our Gurudev, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, was asked one time, if we were to define Krishna consciousness in one word, what would you answer? He said absorption. One needs to ultimately be absorbed. Learn to get absorbed, at least for some time in life, some time in day, if not the whole day. At least some times in the day, one should be absorbed fully to get the full taste, potentially available full taste. So of late, I will just begin with one story, because Ram Navami festival is coming very close, and I'm reading Ramayana, preparing Ramayana, speaking Ramayana. So I thought I will talk about this. Because every Leela of the Lord, whether it is Lord Ram's Leela, Krishna's Leela, or it is Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela, or Narasimha Leela, every Leela has got deep essential meaning, and which helps us to get the realization. Deep message, strong, intense message is there in every Leela of the Lord. Lord doesn't perform pastimes without having a deep message and realization in that. It's not just a story. It's never a story. The more we meet purer devotees, the more we get inner understanding and more inner understanding and more inner understanding of each pastime that Lord does. We can just take one pastime and live for the whole life with that pastime. That much potential, newness is there in each Leela of the Lord. So, all of us know that Sita Devi met Lord Ram in Mithila, in the garden, and then Lord Ram went and broke the bow, and then they got married. This happened in Mithila, right? And when that happened, Janak Maharaj informed Dasharatha that your son has won the pan and now Sita is his. Please come for the wedding. She wore the garland to him, but that was not the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony was going to take place in a gorgeous way. So Dasharatha Maharaj went there, and all of you know the story. And then a grand marriage took place there. And then the news came that Sita is going to be brought by Lord Ram to Ayodhya. So all the four queens, headed by Kausalya, they had information that our Jeshtha Bahu is very, very sukomal, ati sukomal. And by the way, whatever girls were there were four girls. Two daughters were of Dasharatha, Janak Maharaj. And I think two of them, of the other king, what is his name? Kushadvaja. They were two kings and they had two daughters. And the four daughters married four princes. Sita Devi was married to Lord Ram, and then others married Lakshman, Shatrughna and Bharat. and all of them were coming, and they had all extraordinary beauty. But extra informations were coming about Lord Sita Devi's beauty and her nature and her personality. So the one news came that her feet are so soft that how to make her feel comfortable when she will come. So they decided that we will carry her on palanquin only, as far as possible, so that she doesn't have to step down. But it was explained to them that she actually never stepped down on anything else but makhmal. What is the makhmal called?
Velvet.
She never stepped down on anything else but velvet. And not like Kali Yuga velvet. Talking about Trita Yuga velvet. So soft. Even the pollens of flowers used to be very, very soft and wonderful. So what they did, Kausalya Devi ordered for, you know, billions of lotus flowers and their pollens. And she spread them as far and wide as possible, so that that day there should be no scope of putting step down except on the lotus pollens. And then finally, there was some place where she had to climb from steps and go to her palace. There also she spread everything. And they brought palanquin as far as possible. And everybody was like, the heart were palpitating that this girl, how old she was that time? I think only 6 years old she was, if I am not wrong. How old she was? 6 years. And Lord Ramchandra was 12 years old. But at the age of 6, she had developed such qualities and such culture and such character. Amazing, unparalleled. And kind of strength also she had. She had lifted that bow in a playful mood. And Vishwamitra Muni was surprised. And that time only they decided that if she can play with this bow, somebody has to come and at least string the bow to get married with her. That's how it came up. So they brought her to the Ayodhya city, and right inside and inside and inside and inside. At one point of time, they had to alight her. So Ayodhya, Kausalya from here, and Kekayi from behind, and Sumitra from here. They were holding her hands and making her walk. And she has not walked even 2-3 steps. Some wrinkles appeared on her face. And Kausalya Devi was like so upset to see those wrinkles. That means somewhere some pain is there. So she asked, "My dear daughter, please tell me, anything is wrong?" He said, "No, no, mother, everything is fine. It's so wonderful to be here. So fortunate to be here." So she made a very significant statement. "See, Sita, this is your house now. If you are going to be very sankoch, what do you call sankoch, hesitant to tell things and all, then you have to live here only. How can you not tell? So you will be free from now only to tell. We are your mothers and this is your home. This is your eternal home from onwards now. Please tell us." So she said, "No, no, no." But then they, Kausalya very lovingly, because when she was looking at Sita, her eyes were filled with tears and heart was palpitating with unlimited love for her. So much of love she was drawing from her heart. And not only her, everybody, Sumitra, Kaikeyi, all the ladies of the palace, everybody was like, heart was only overflowing with so much of divine love for her, Vatsalya. So Kausalya just couldn't see that she is still hesitating. So finally Sita Devi said, "This pollens are hurting my feet." You can imagine, Treta Yuga pollens of lotus, how soft they must be. And they were also hurting her lotus feet, how soft they must be. And then she said that, anything else? She said that these servant ladies who are around, the way they are looking at me, their sight, na nazar, the heat in the nazar is making me feel hot, so that's why my eyes have become little morose. She could see the eyes, you know, like a tired person. For example, if you're tired, we can make out the eyes are, he's beautiful, but still, the beautiful person is tired, then you can make out that there's some tiredness. So there was some tiredness, which was not necessarily because of shram, because of efforts or hard work, but There are some feelings were there in her eyes they could pick up. So what she said, that when they are looking at me, that is, that heat of their nazar is disturbing me actually. So what Kausalya must have done? Any guess? Anybody can guess? She just picked her up like a baby in the arms. Godh mein le liya usko. And immediately covered her with her veil. What you said is right. That I don't want any of the ladies to see this beautiful girl. Because it's going to disturb her and trouble her. And plus, nazar lag gaya toh phir aur problem. So she covered her and lifted her with so much of love. And you know, embraced her to the bosom. And then they, like that day, took her up. Can you imagine the scene? Just try to imagine this. Everybody is just dressed well. Some beautiful queens, around, atmosphere, fragrance, lotus pollens everywhere. And the whole procession comes and she gets down and she speaks 2-3 words here and there. And she's lifted up by Kausalya and taken up in the inner chambers. And then they make her sit down there. To make her feel comfortable. And then that ceremony comes up. Now you have to see the face of this Bahu. One by one. Senior most person will come first, open the veil and see the mouth, see the face. And when you see the face, there's a custom that you have to give some gifts. It's called Muh Dikhai. Muh Dikhai is, today also there is ceremonies goes on in villages. When the Bahu comes, she's in the big veil and then one by one senior most people come and they start unveiling her and seeing, and then they will give some gifts. Some people will give gold, some people rings, some ornaments, some sweetmeats, all kinds of gifts they are giving. So everybody said, Kausalya Devi, it is your turn. You have to first see the lotus mouth, lotus face, and give Muh Dikhai, give gifts to her. So she lifted, and when she saw the lotus face of Sita Devi, she started crying, crying and crying and crying. So okay, if your eyes are filled up with tears and they just flow, that is not crying actually, it's like Harsha Ashru, Ananda Ashru. But she was really crying. So we were wondering why she is crying. She should be happy. She should be giving gift immediately. So they asked her. So she said that, oh dear Sita, oh dear Janak Nandini, today when I see you, I have come to a realization that in front of you, in front of the jewel of your lotus face, the whole treasury of my husband is empty today. I feel like that. What is there in the jewelry, in the storehouse, the treasury of my husband, in Chakravarti Samrat's treasury, I cannot find anything that is worthy of your lotus face. That's why I am crying. And then when I was crying, I was meditating. Still I have to give something to you. What I can give you? Then I came to an understanding that from my womb has arisen another jewel called Ram. So she held his hand, held her hand and gave Ram's hand in Sita's hand. This is your Muh Dikhai. Please take this. So she felt very shy and said, Mother, you have given me best Muh Dikhai, which cannot be compared with anything else. You can imagine the love and the feeling of loving exchange, the way it has been done, you know. This is a truth, this is a fact. Today we have so many experiences when Bahu comes home and you know, on the day one only, so many things happen. I can't go and tell you till the next day's cows come home. So much of counseling needs to be done. What happened on the day one when I went to my new house? And that is like lifelong big sword in the bottom of the heart, already pierced, which can never be taken out for whole life. That much pain is there on that day one. And look at the day one of Sita. So much of love is being exchanged and showered by Mother Kausalya. And then turn came of Kaikeyi. And she said, this beautiful couple has come together by the divine will of Providence. And they will have now a need of a big palace for their own pastimes, to be together, to spend time together. So I have got one Kanak Mahal made for them. A beautiful palace made of gold. So when she saw the face, she offered gold palace to them. She said, please enjoy. relish your association. And then Sumitra's turn came. And Sumitra unveiled her and saw her face and started crying and crying and crying. Said, I don't have anything to give you. The way you are, the way feelings I have developed looking at your lotus face, I also feel unworthy of becoming your mother-in-law. So, I offer my two sons today as your sons. They will be your sons from today. There's a nice verse which says that Ram will be the father and you will be the mother of these two sons. And I sacrifice my matrutva, my motherhood, today I sacrifice fully. I never even think within my heart that they will be my sons. I offer them completely in your service. And whatever it takes to please you, I will live my life accordingly. This is Sita's day. Day one, moment one, minute one, hour one. In her father-in-law's house. In her husband's house. So beautiful it is, right? I was overwhelmed when I heard this first time. I heard it again and again and again and again and again. That actually such kind of love we are hankering for in this life. You know, such unadulterated, purest love, genuine love, genuinely springing out of the heart. That is what we are hankering for and we are searching for actually. So by reading Ramayana, reading Krishna Leela, we come to know the love that is actually possibly available, that can be possible for us also. And the same Sita, she was such a elevated personality in character. That when time came to go to forest, Lord Ramchandra told her that you stay behind because my mother and father will be, my mothers and my father will be too much grieving. They'll be too much in sorrow. Somebody should take care of them. Who will console them? Who will serve them with love and make them feel consoled? So I feel you should stay back because I am ordered to go to forest. You don't have to be going with me. So she said one thing and another thing also, which are, how to say that? Heart-rending, hai na? What do you say in English? Heart-rending? Wo dil pigal jata hai na, wo sunke. Such kind of words. She said that when I got married with you in Mithila, in my father's kingdom, father's house, I had taken a vow that I will be with you in sorrow and happiness equally. And that promise I gave standing in the house of my father. That means my father also becomes responsible for that vow which I have taken. So all the happiness of our wedding we have enjoyed. You know how many years they stayed there as married couple? 12 years. 12 years Lord Ramchandra stayed as married to Sita in Ayodhya. Very happily as Yuvraj. It's not immediately after marriage from time. 12 years they lived very happily. Enjoying all the opulences and love and affection. Showers of love of Ayodhya Vasis. The popularity that they developed. Everybody looked up to them. Loved them like anything. They were ready to do everything for everybody. All the praja was ready for doing everything for them. Such kind of life they lived. And then looking at their popularity, lokapriyata, Dasharatha then one day thought, now I should retire because now he has come to a situation, a position. He's become the deity of everybody's heart. So good time to retire. That's how he planned. And that's how suddenly the whole things changed. And they were supposed to go to forest. Now there Lord Ramchandra's personality is so impressing, so impressive. Then he went to Kaikeyi's palace in that Kop Bhavan. He said, only this much had to tell me. And why had to wear black clothes and go to Kop Bhavan? You could have just called me. I could have come to your normal palace and you could have ordered me go. I would have gone. Why you took so much trouble for so many hours lying down on the ground, you know, all those things, whatever happened. Instead of taking so much trouble, mother, you could have just called me and told me and I would have walked off. I feel sorry that you have to go through so much to finally convey to me. Such readiness to accept any adversity in life, at any moment in life. It was most I mean, even the wildest dreams of anybody in Ayodhya, nobody could have ever thought that this will happen. They were so happy actually. Everybody was so happy. So Sita Devi also, I mean, natural sorrow was there, but she was not so sorry that, oh, we lost everything. What is the use of life? I was supposed to be queen. Now I'll be walking in the forest. No. She said, how can I make my word which I gave in my father's house false and cause defamation to my father? I have to keep my word which I have given. And all these years I enjoyed with you for 12 years. All the opulences, all the love, all the relationships, all the excellence, everything I've enjoyed. Now the time has come to undergo so-called pains. I should be more than willing, as I was enthusiastic in enjoying with you, relishing my time with you. So for me, wherever you are, there is happiness. Wherever you are, there is Ayodhya. Wherever you are, there is perfection. And wherever you are, there is good fortune. So there is no question with this palace or thorny forest where we have to walk barefoot. It is same for me. Such character she exhibited. And then she said, my dear husband, I will not come with you to forest. I will walk ahead of you in the forest. So he said, do you know all the forest roads, where to walk? How did you know? He said, I don't know the road. But I will walk ahead of you. Because I know that when I massage your feet, I massaged so many times your feet in the night, or whenever possible, I always felt that my fingers were harder than your lotus feet. Your lotus feet were so soft and so delicate. So that means how sukamal she was. And generally our lotus feet are little harder than our fingers. Is that true? Because lotus feet are always, feet are always touching with the ground and bearing our weight and going through hard and softer places. But hands don't, we don't walk with the hands, right? So now also you touch your feet and touch your soles and touch your palms, you'll see your palms are softer than your feet. So Sita Devi's lotus feet were so soft. So how softer her palms may be. And with those softer, maybe softest kind of palms, she was massaging the lotus feet of Lord Ram. And she felt her fingers were harder. That caused maybe some pain or some discomfort to the lotus feet of the Lord. So she's saying that, I cannot imagine you walking on the pebbles and thorns and stones barefoot in the forest. So I will walk little ahead of you, bear all the pain of the thorns and stones and pebbles, clear them off and make for you soft as far as possible the land on which you have to walk. This is the mood. Now you can understand, she is not an ordinary lady. She was a princess. And such divine princess she was, she could lift that bow also. Lilaya. Lilaya means very playfully she was lifting. And she was the talk of the town. She was the most powerful, most famous, most lovable jewel of whole Janakpuri. Whole Janakpuri was known because of her. What is the name of Janakpuri? Mithila. And what is her name? Maithili. So her name is attached and her whole place is known for her because she was there. Such great personality, she can be so subservient, so humble, so dasanudas in front of her husband, accepting all the situations of life. So whenever we listen to any katha, we should be able to grasp the inner core of the character of the people involved in that katha. Like Bhagavatam is made up with so many of personalities. Ramayana is made of so many ideal personalities. Gaur Lila is made of so many personalities, you know. So many things to grasp from so many people. Or so many variety of bhav as the essence of their personalities is available. So in this little pastime, you know, we can see the character of Kausalya, her motherly affection, see the character of Sita Devi, how humble, subservient she is. See the readiness of Lord Ram to accept happiness and sorrow with equal tone in life. It's not like little happiness, little sorrow, little idea here and there. It's like such a contrast, nobody can imagine. Tomorrow you are going to become the queen, king of the whole यूनिवर्स, चक्रवर्ती सम्राट इन द नेम ऑफ बिकमिंग किंग ऑफ अयोध्या, बिकॉज अयोध्या किंगडम वॉज रूलिंग द होल वर्ल्ड एक्चुअली. एवरीबडी हैप्पीली असिस्टेड द अश्व ऑफ दशरथ महाराज वेन ही डिड अश्वमेध यज्ञ बिफोर पुत्र कामिष्ठ यज्ञ वेन लॉर्ड राम वॉज सपोज टू बी बॉर्न. Nobody fought with him. Can you imagine that? The horse was only welcomed, fed, and glorified, and celebrated. And that's how, still it took 1 year for him to get the horse back from all over the world. Tomorrow you're going to become king like that, and then the destiny has told that you have to go to forest. And no city facilities you can utilize. That means no couches, no asanas, no footwear, no sena, no any assistance, no food that is available in city. You know, you can't even accept anything. You have to only accept raw things from the village, from the forest, and live on that. That's why Nishad was asking Lord Ram that, I will massage you, you stay here today. But he said, no, I cannot accept any of these facilities. Oh, this is jungle also. Everything fulfills over here. Still, he said, no, I cannot accept luxuries. And not one day, 2 days, 1 week, 1 month. It was 14 years. And God knows what happens in forest. Today, there is no forest only. But in those forest, in those days, forest means what? Thick, thick forest with wildest possible animals. Lord Rama told Sita that there will be so many animals will be there. Do you know what is the meaning of going to forest? Do you know? Do you have any understanding? You have not even put your foot beyond the velvet in your palace. What do you know of forest? But even though she technically did not know anything about forest, but her mind was so elevated, her consciousness was so elevated, that she didn't actually have to know. She was fully prepared for anything in life. That is her character. She doesn't have to be told, enlisted or fully inducted, oriented about every single thing that can be happening in the forest. She was fully prepared for anything that can be happening in the forest. And all of us know that what all things happened in the forest, they were not expected to happen. And not only you can stay, also you can stay in only one place. Oh, this is a very nice river. This is a nice forest, having nice fruits, have nice trees here. Nice flowers, fragrance comes here. Abundant trees available to make pluck the leaves and make paranakuti. Everything is so nice. So 14 years we can stay in one place only. It's not like that. You have to keep moving and moving and moving. And go to a newer situation, build a paranakuti again and pick up fruits and pick up roots and pick up leaves and eat and keep going ahead. Like that. So this is what I have felt I should start with. That is the rule of the vanvas, Prabhuji. Vanvas means you can't even get attached to a tree. You can't even get attached to a fruit that you liked in one place and keep thinking about that place. No, you have to just go ahead, keep going ahead, 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 keep walking, walking, walking. And I think the rule was not more than 3 days in one place.
But they stayed so many days in Chitragupta,
no? But they were moving from that place to one place to another. They may be staying in one area called Chitrakoot, which is a very large area. But basically when we even meditate or think of Lord Ram's vanvas, is that all time they are walking. Two men with the bow and one lady. Constantly walking. What do you see in Tapovan? There is a effigy, na? On the mount, small hillock, what is the effigy? They are walking. You don't see effigy of Lord Ram, Sita sitting anywhere. There is walking. That is the essential aspect of the vanvas. Hare Krishna. So let us all offer our... Show some light here. Let us all offer our prayers to Lord Ram, Sita Devi. Huh? Thank you. Sita Devi, Kausalya Devi, all these great personalities all of them were love personified actually. Virtue personified. Character personified. The highest of anything you can think in life was already there within them. And they have just come to exhibit them for the benefit of all of us. To inspire us for eternal time to come. So this same Sita Devi, Kishori Ji, Sri Ji came next time as Radharani. And all of you may be knowing the story, those three Mahasatis. Have you heard the story of three Mahasatis? They were actually residents of divine world, spiritual world. And one time they came to meet Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. Three Mahasatis, celebrated Mahasatis of the spiritual world, went one time to have darshan of Lord Vishnu. And they didn't offer pranams to four Kumaras. Some of these four Kumaras are there involved in many curses, in many places, in many situations. So they didn't do it purposefully. They're not children, so they didn't feel like doing that. They were quite elderly ladies, I mean, Matajis. So they cursed them, that you'll have to take birth in the material world. So they were quite upset, you know. We didn't even intend to offend them or anything, but we are getting a curse. And they were thinking like that, and immediately Vishnu came out, and he said, actually it's not a curse, it is my desire that you go down. It is my desire to perform some pastimes, sweet pastimes, so you are supposed to go down, not to suffer a curse, but you are supposed to go down to give birth to three Mahasatis from your womb. So one of them became Parvati's mother. What is her name? Maybe Sunaina. One of them became Sita's mother. What is her name? Menaka, I think. And one of them became Kalavati, who became Radharani's mother. Sorry, Kirtida, who became Kirtida in next life. First time she became Kalavati. And this all these three ladies took birth in a very strategic position, and then eventually they gave birth to the three Mahasatis of this, in this material world. Parvati Devi, Sita Devi and Sita Devi, and Radharani. So this Kalavati and Suchandra got married by the desire of Gargamuni. And they performed 12,000 years of tapasya, eating only leaves that fell down from the tree by the power of breeze. And after 12,000 years when they performed the tapasya, Lord Brahma appeared very happily. And he said, please ask whatever you like to ask. So Suchandra said, I will like to get moksha. And Brahmaji said, Tathastu. And as soon as Brahmaji said, Tathastu, Kalavati got very angry with him. He said, how can you award my husband moksha when I am still around? So Brahmadev got actually scared a lot, thinking about his mistake. That he just said, Tathastu, without thinking comprehensively or collectively, because they had performed tapasya together. So he said immediately, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I suggest you that you both can live in my abode, enjoying all the luxuries of my abode, till the time end of Dwapar Yuga comes. And at the end of Dwapar Yuga, you will take birth as Kirtida and Vrishbhanu Maharaj. And then I bless you that the Lord's internal potency will take birth from you, and then both of you will get moksha. Both of you will attain the spiritual world. That's how somehow Brahma managed the situation. Because he was worried that she is one of the Mahasatis. If she curses me, then I will be finished. So he had to really rush and manipulate the situation so that she doesn't get angry to the extent of cursing him. And then it is said that for long, 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 long time, they stayed in Brahmaloka with Brahmaloka's time. And then on the earthly planet, when it became Dwapar, and that time they took birth, as he became the fifth son of his father. Four elder sons, four younger sons, and he was in between. And Kalavati became Kirtida. And that's how, again, by the desire of Nanda Maharaj, who was very friendly with Vrishbhanu Maharaj, they got married. And all of you know the divine pastime, that Radharani actually took birth as daughter of Vindhyachal. Have you heard that story? Some of you must have heard. That Parvati Devi was born to Himalayas. And Parvati Devi did tapasya and got Lord Shiva as her husband. She did a lot of tapasya, worshipped his linga, and he was very pleased and finally married her. So this news Vindhyachal received, that my friend, my co-brother Himalay received such a daughter that Mahadev married her. Mahadev, who happens to be Brahma's son, but even Brahma worships him as Mahadev. And there's only one Mahadev, there's no many Mahadevs, only one Mahadev is there. So he didn't actually feel jealous like we feel, but he thought, I shall also have one daughter who will marry a person who will be much more powerful than Lord Shiva also. In brackets, who can defeat Shiva also. So he did tapasya, and as a fruit of the tapasya, he was bestowed upon with two daughters. One was Radharani and one was Chandravali. Both were born to him, and he was very, 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 very happy, because he knew that the elder one will marry a person who will be more stronger than Lord Shiva also. So they were celebrating the birth in their kingdom. And at that time, the news of this girl, first of all, the news of the tapasya done by Vindhyachal came on the ears of Kamsa in Mathura. That Vindhyachal has now got a daughter whose would-be husband will be eligible to defeat Lord Shiva also. So immediately he called Putana. He told Putana that go immediately and pick up those girls. I want to marry both of them. See, this, imagine this Kamsa. A little while ago he has worshipped Lord Shiva also. He has done all tapasya and worshipped Lord Shiva also. Even after that also he was worshipping Bhuteshwar regularly. So Shiva was supposed to be his worshipable Lord, by his definition also. But still, the demonic tendency is such that as time comes, they can change everything. They can change their worshipable Lord, they can become like, want to defeat him, kill him also. Like Bhasmasur did the tapasya and asked for a boon and immediately wanted to enjoy that person's wife only. That is a demon, typically. Because demons means they live only for the self. At the cost of everybody else in the world, they want to live for the self. So immediately Kamsa ordered Putana that you go and pick up those girls and I want to marry them. Now the rule was that the husband was supposed to be before only very powerful than Lord Shiva. Not that by marrying these girls he will become powerful to defeat Shiva. She will marry a person who is already strong, stronger than Lord Shiva. So she came, and celebration was going on. Immediately she came as Kesari. You know what is Kesari? Kesari means one who chants mantra holding a blade of grass, and that blade of grass becomes an aeroplane. And then you sit on that aeroplane and go wherever you want. So she was Kesari. So she flew in the sky on the blade of grass, and she came down, and before getting down only she picked up those dogs, and in front of everybody's eyes she just flew away. And Vindhyachal was like completely mad. She didn't expect this to happen. Before he blinked his eye, babies were picked up by Putana and she flew in the deep in the sky. So immediately called Brahmanas and told them, immediately do Agnihotra, chant mantras to create fire in the body of Putana and kill her, burn her to ashes. So immediately sat on the fire and started chanting mantras, and that started creating heat in the body of Putana. The fire element was enlarged and magnified in the body of Putana, and she started feeling the burning. And by the burning, she became so distressful, and she dropped, she couldn't hold one. She just dropped one girl, and that girl fell down in Vidarbha Desh, where King Bhishmak found her. And he raised her for 5 years. Chandravali was raised by Bhishmaka for 5 years. And then Purnamasi came from Braj and picked her up and brought her to Vrindavan Dham and gave her to Chandrabhanu, who was a co-brother of Vrishbhanu Maharaj. And then she became Chandravali. And then she continued flying in the sky in distressful condition. She was going toward, you know where Vidarbha, Vindhya is in Maharashtra, right? And on the way comes Vidarbha, Nagpur. and from there he was going northwards towards Vrindavan Dham, where Mathura Mandal Kamsa was supposed to be there. She was heading towards Mathura and she kept on flying somehow or other in distressful condition. And then what happened? Finally, she couldn't even continue flying till the end, the house of Kamsa. And before she crossed Jamuna, she dropped one baby. And that is when the location is such that before that, Vrishabhanu Maharaj is married with Ketida and they are already in Barsana. Nanda Maharaj is married with Yashoda. They are already in Nandagaon and they have become very elderly and they have thought that it is too long, we have not got children. Maybe Jamuna is very auspicious. At the banks of Jamuna if we stay, then we may get children. And they have moved by that time to the bank of Jamuna. Vrishabhanu Maharaj at Rawal at the bank of Jamuna. Nanda Maharaj at Gokul at the bank of Jamuna. And that is the time when she fell down. It is almost a year from her birth. And that is while when Vrishabhanu Maharaj got up in the morning and he found effulgent situation in the bank of Jamuna. Great golden effulgence. Everything was like day actually, in the middle of the early morning. Very early morning, first prahar. And then he was like wondering how this is happening. I come every day at this time. So he went in Jamuna and went further and he saw that effulgence is coming from one lotus flower. And he went further and noticed that the effulgence is not coming from lotus flower also. It is coming from a baby which is on the lotus flower. And he was wondering who the baby must be. And that time Brahma appeared in the sky and said, she is the internal energy of the Lord. She is Antaranga Shakti of the Lord. She is the very Radharani who is Krishna's beloved from Golok Vrindavan. Now please accept her as your daughter. And that's how Vrishabhanu Maharaj got Radharani. So that is why this is after 15 days of Krishna's birth. So in one sense of time, she is younger to Krishna. And in the another sense of time, she is elder to Krishna. So if when people ask us whether she is elder or younger to Krishna, we say both are true. This is how it is. And then, after this, they stayed, about 3 years. 3 years or 4 months like that. Not much time, but in those 3 years and 4 months, every single day demons were being sent from Mathura. Every single day. And one day, after having many meetings every single day at Chaurasi Khamba, they discussed that now this place has become very dangerous, we should now move out of this place. This place is not good now. It was auspicious and we received our children, but now it is becoming very dangerous. Every moment there is a possibility of our children being killed. So they had come together, so they felt we'll go together back. And they went together, left that place and started walking towards Barsana and Nandagaon from their original place, from where they had come. And all of you know that they halted at Chatikara. And they had their tents touching each other. But today also the tent of Vrishabhanu Maharaj was described to be in Vasati village, which is near Radhakund. Radhakund, if you go and you drive 2 kilometers towards Vrindavan, towards Shatikara, then you will come to know the village called Vasati, which was supposed to be the center of Vrishabhanu Maharaj's tent. And center of Nanda Maharaj's tent was Shatikara. And today they are, also today its condition, they are 28 kilometers away from each other. And they are described to be 2 tents touching each other. So how big they must be, that only we can imagine. And Chatikara is a place where many beautiful pastimes happened. Let us go step by step. So, you know, when Krishna was born, it is explained that till 6 months they celebrated his birthday. Nobody realized only that it was 6 months. They were so absorbed, completely absorbed, that at the end of 6 months, they realized sun is setting. And they were cursing Brahma, that Brahma has become old now. He has lost his sense of intelligence. He is so foolish actually. Doesn't he understand that such happiness doesn't come again and again? why he is ending this day so soon. They didn't know that it was 6 months already over. And in that happiness of 6 months, Yashoda Mai had forgotten to do Shashti Pujan of Krishna. It never occurred to them. There was so much happiness, so much of joy, so much of involvement, so much of absorption, so much of drowning in the ocean of nectar of birth of Krishna, that they didn't realize that we are supposed to do even worship of Krishna's, for Krishna, to Shashti Devi. And they just realized that, oh, the first birthday is coming. So Yashoda Devi said that the next Shravan Vadya Ashtami, Krishna's birth, or Shuddha Ashtami, or waxing moon or waning moon? Krishna Paksha, right? It was Krishna Paksha. So, before that Ashtami of Krishna's birth came, the Shashti before that, 2 days before that, immediately she worshipped Shashti Devi in a hurry, because you cannot celebrate the first birthday of Lord Krishna without doing the Shashti Pujan. It's a mandate. Like in our caste, without having Janiv ceremony, you know, Upanayana ceremony, one can't get married. So somebody, they have missed out on thread ceremony, then on the day of wedding, they are supposed to undergo Upanayana ceremony in the morning and then sit in the father's lap, hear the Gayatri Mantra, and after a gap of few minutes, then they have to go and get married. So like that, you cannot celebrate the first birthday of Krishna without Shashti Pujan. So, in a very hurriedly, Yashoda Mai performed Shashti Pujan of Krishna in Chatikra. Not at the time when they were moving from that place. I'm just, by the way, telling you. It didn't happen when they were moving from Gokul to Nandagaon. And second pastime that took place in Chatikra was that when Krishna and Balram and cowherd boys were playing at that place, suddenly Krishna told Sridhama that you please become Garuda. Assume the form of Garuda. Before even he thought, I should become, I should not become, he became Garuda by the desire of Krishna. And as soon as he became Garuda, you know, Garuda is not the inhabitant of Vrindavan Dham, right? Garuda is the inhabitant of Vaikuntha. It's a very Aishwarya form. Whenever Lord exhibits Aishwarya, Garuda comes in the picture. So when Garuda appeared in Vrindavan Dham, in the form of Sridhama became Garuda, so even Krishna also assumed Aishwarya. And he assumed 12-armed beautiful form. And he rode on the Garuda with his two lotus feet and two sides of the wings of Garuda. And immediately when that happened, Radharani turned into Mahalakshmi. And immediately also Satyabhama and Rukmini appeared. And everybody enjoyed that scene. Radharani turning into Lakshmi form and Satyabhama Rukmini appearing. While he has not yet gone to Dwarka and not yet married with Rukmini and Satyabhama, but still, by the desire of the Lord, Dwarka appeared there. All the opulence of Dwarka appeared there and everybody enjoyed that pastime. It is said that this form of the Lord is nowhere in the whole creation of the Lord. Lord never exhibited such kind of form. In Virat Rupa, he had millions of arms, right? In other many forms, he had 4 arms. In Narasingha Bhagavan's form, he has 8 arms. But anywhere else you have read about 12 arms, this is only this form of the Lord. So this is what happened in Chatikra. And he said that in today also, you know, these Brijvasis, they don't go to all temples which we visit. They have their fixed Shraddha. Some of them will go to only Gopeshwar. Some of them will go to only Imlitala and take bath in Jamuna. Some of them will only go to Damodar temple. Some of them will go to Lala Babu temple. Some of them will go to Govindji temple. It's like their Ishtadev is fixed in their mind. But all of them worship Giriraj and all of them worship Garuda Govinda. That is their, it is their temple, by the way. You will find the most elderly Brijvasis, most elderly Goswamis, most elderly Chaturvedis, Chaubes, all visiting that temple. And when you talk to them about Garuda Govinda, their heart will get filled with awe and reverence and respect. And they'll tell you, you must go there. That's an instant place of Braj. That's our worshipable place. Chatikra. So you please, whenever you get next time, it's a very beautiful place and Garuda Govinda Darshan is there. The Garuda's lotus face is on the front of the chest of the Lord and Mahalakshmi is standing there, Radharani. And there's a beautiful kund called Govind Kund next to that. And that murti, where Lord performed the pastime, and of course Lord then again resolved and became normal coward boy and went back home. So when Bajranab came, and Lord has ordered Bajranab to, you know, preserve and maintain places and establish deities and establish the sanctity of the whole abode. So Bajranab made the deity. What you see today is a deity made by Bajranab. And that deity was lost in the course of time by the will of the Lord. And then in the course of time in Kali Yuga, the Lord appeared in the dream of one Brijvasi and told him to take him out from the Govind Kund, in the depths of Govind Kund. And then he was revealed and re-established at the banks of Govind Kund. It's a very, very, very divine place. Very, very beautiful place. Immediately when you go there, now your heart will inspire you to chant the holy name immediately. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So then, a very beautiful thing happened at Chatikra. Another pastime. They halted at Chatikra and then they left from there at one good nice time. And you know, what was their vehicle? They were only having bail gadis, right? Bullock carts. Everything, whatever they had, all opulences, whatever they had was all gathered in the bullock carts. And bulls were pulling the bullock carts and cows were running across. And babies were, some of them were lifted by the cowherd boys on the shoulders. The small cowherd boys were lifting calves and some of them were lifted by the big men. Some of them the herding calves also, and they were singing songs and gopis were walking with their matkas on their head. And all those beautiful situations, you know, millions of people were walking. And then one old lady, she was almost 125-year-old. And she just saw Krishna. That on a beautifully decorated bullock cart with ornaments and with all velvet situations, and the queen Yashoda was sitting, and in her lap blue baby Krishna was there. And another bullock cart, beautifully decorated and shaded. The Balramji was sitting in the lap of Rohini, and they were looking here and there, and Dinbandhu Prabhu always explains to you that they were asking, Mama, what is this tree whose leaves have a tail? Their mother told, this is people tree. And like that, he asked so many questions, and that old gopi was looking at Krishna, and suddenly her heart got filled with vatsalya. And she thought that, oh, it would have been so nice if Krishna was in my lap. She was not envious of Yashoda. Nobody in the whole Brajbhumi were envious of anybody. They were simply desiring if Krishna would have been my child, if I would have been his mother, if I would have been able to feed him on my breast, if I would have been able to caress him, if I can feed him my breast milk or my homemade butter. All those things were coming in their mind. So she thought that if Krishna could be in my lap, it will be so nice and happy. But she thought, I am so poor. What qualification I have got? So she just thought, I should enjoy seeing him in the lap of Mother Yashoda. But you know, Krishna knows everybody's heart. He's sitting in everybody's heart as Paramatma. And that genuine most desire of that old lady touched the heart of Krishna. And Krishna felt, I must do some leela to fulfill her desire. So after inquiring from her mother about various things like the people trees having long, you know that long thing in the end, it looks like tail. So many things he asked to his mother. And suddenly started asking about birds. And he asked, mother, what is that? So mother said, this is peacock. Then he said, oh, so beautiful bird. Who is next to him? The mother said, she is peahen. Then he asked, oh, how beautiful. Who is she to him? Mother said, she is his wife. Then immediately he asked about the parrot. Who is this? So mother said, he is a parrot. He is Shuka. Oh, so beautiful color. Who is next to him? She is Maina. What do you call in English? Shuka and Sari. Who is Sari to Shuka? Sari is the wife of Shuka. Oh, wonderful. Then he asked about cuckoo, then he asked about chakravag, then he asked about so many birds. And everybody, somehow, by the will of the Lord, were sitting with their wives. After inquiring about birds, then he inquired about animals, then he inquired about everybody. And suddenly he said, what is this? Everybody is there with their wife. And I am only alone. What is this? This is not just. This is unjust. I want my wife immediately next to me. So Madhava Yashoda said, my dear Lala, wives come when you grow up. You are a still small baby. When you will grow up, I will find a beautiful girl for you and I will marry you with him, with her. He said, I don't know all these time understandings. I want wife right now next to me. And he started crying loudly. And you know what is the meaning of Krishna crying? Krishna crying means everything becomes standstill. All active things, all working things, all busy things become standstill. So as soon as he started crying so loudly that all the bulls stopped. All the cows stopped. All the gopis stopped because they just cannot walk when Krishna is crying. They have to make him happy and then they will further continue their work. So when he started crying, they are trying to pacify him. Many gopis came and pacified him, told him variety of ways. This is not time to get married. You will take some time. Please don't cry. Take mother's milk, take butter, take everything. But he was rejecting everything. He was rejecting mother's breast, he was rejecting butter, he was rejecting yogurt, he was rejecting milk, he was rejecting caressing, rejecting love, embrace, everything he was rejecting. And crying more and more and more. So now they were serious, they thought something has to be done. So the gopis discussed with Yashoda. And they said that, let him choose any one of us as his wife. It will be his choice, whichever girl he likes, whichever any one of us, young, small, middle-aged, whatever he likes, let us become his wife. So then they said, okay, so all of us are now standing here. You choose whom you like to be your wife. And then every gopi came one by one and he moved his face sideways. No, you are not the one. No, you are not the one. No, you are not the one. Everybody came and they were not unhappy because they thought someone he will finally choose and he'll stop crying. So they were only interested in that. So everybody, he moved his face sideways and rejected them. And finally the 125-year-old gopi came. And he immediately jumped in her lap. Said, she is my wife. Imagine. So everybody laughed and laughed and laughed. What a perfect biwi you have chosen. Kya jor ki biwi chuni hai? How they said? कि शी और उन्होंने कहा कि इसके मोड़े में भी दांत ना आए और वाके मुंह में भी दांत ना आए. सो ही सेड कृष्णा सेड दिस इज परफेक्ट अरेंजमेंट आई डोंट हैव एनी टीथ इन माय माउथ एंड शी डजंट आल्सो हैव टीथ इन माय माउथ एंड देन ही वेंट एंड सैट इन हर लैप एंड द होल जर्नी फ्रॉम चटिकरा टू नंदगांव ही सैट इन हर लैप एंड ट्रैवल ऑल द डिस्टेंस. बोलो श्री कृष्ण भगवान की, भक्त वत्सल श्री कृष्ण भगवान की.
प्रसाद इज रेडी, सो एट 8 o'clock वी कैन ब्रेक फॉर प्रसाद एंड वी कैन कंटिन्यू.
यस, सो लेट मी कंक्लूड दिस स्टोरी. सो व्हाट वी कैन लर्न फ्रॉम दिस स्टोरी इज, व्हाट वाज द प्रोबेबिलिटी ऑफ दैट माताजी हैविंग कृष्णा इन हर लैप? वाज ऑलमोस्ट जीरो, राइट? Impossible. In her wildest dreams, she was thinking that I'm so poor, you know, so insignificant. I cannot have Krishna in my lap. What is my qualification? But she had very genuine, loving, honest desire. And Krishna made the most impossible thing very easily possible through this Leela. So let us all pray to Sri Krishna, who can make impossible, unimaginable, achintya things very easily possible if he desires so. So we pray that if it pleases you, my Lord, it is impossible for us to develop love for you. But please bestow your mercy upon us so that we also most unqualified people, which is for us is very most impossible thing. Please make it possible for us. बोल भक्तवत्सल श्री कृष्ण भगवान की जय हो. जय जय श्री राधे श्याम.
प्रसाद इज रेडी डिनर, सो वी विल टेक डिनर प्रसाद. नाउ इट इज 8 o'clock.